I think I just sit here and read.
That's stuck in the elevator, huh?
Yeah, dust.
And he got off on the second floor, but he still wanted to talk, so he put his hand on the door and pushed it. Brian, get your hand on the door. Brian, get your hand on the door. Brian called court security. I'm stuck in the elevator. Oh, wow. He jammed the door. It took a half an hour to get me out.
Wow. So all you do is hit stop.
Best half an hour of my life. it's ready to roll? We're going now?
Yep, go ahead.
All right. Since Pius is leaving, we'll call this meeting to order. It is 5:30. March 11th, 2011. We are meeting in meeting room 4. This is the Citizens Advisory Committee for Jury Service. So we'll do a roll call. Aaron Ammons.
Roger Holland.
Mike Richards.
Tom DeSantis.
Joe Brown.
Joan Miller.
And so we have, I guess we'll get it to the new people, new person here in a little while. Has everybody had a chance to look at the agenda? If you want to make any additions or whatever, we need to have a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Moved by Judge DeFantis. Second by Ms. Miller.
Okay.
Is there any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right, so the agenda has been approved, and if everyone's had a moment and would like to take a minute to look at the minutes from the February 11th meeting, we can do so. I think you're on the back of that. And Ken Turner is also here. Barbara Kessel cannot make it. Brian Dolliver cannot make it. Pius Weibel cannot make it. And Patrick Thompson will not be here.
Randy's supposed to be here, right? Rosamond?
I haven't didn't talk to him today, so.
Yeah, he said he would be here.
I haven't heard Jenny. He wouldn't be here.
Jenny should be here as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They may be trying to find it.
Well, Jenny would know where it is.
Yeah.
Before we leave, Brian Dolliver had a question for you, and I have to find out, remember what it was.
What was it about?
The curriculum or something about the proposal for this?
He wanted something written up about the court washing project, and I emailed Steve, and I never got an answer.
Okay. So, is everybody ready to approve? Are we ready to approve the minutes? Or do we need a minute to read them? Everybody's good?
Yes.
Motion to approve the minutes for February 11th.
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Turner and?
Second.
Second by Mr. Brown. No discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, so we have approval of the minutes from last meeting. The announcements and communications is where we are on the agenda, and Mr. Randy Rosenbaum has joined us for the record.
He was late.
Also for the record.
I didn't realize we were so far from the back of that.
One of the things that I wanted to look at through, and I like for us to do this, if not every meeting, at least every other meeting, is to reiterate the goals and objectives for this year for the committee. And I just simply pulled up the January 13th agenda, which was very basic, and it just had a list of things that we wanted to accomplish during this year. What I put down, I don't know if there were some things we needed to add to that. The radio ads and appearances, public appearances, which we are very much on top of. The written, updated pamphlets for schools, churches, etc. And we have some work that Roger has done around that already. We have some information about that. The curriculum proposals for middle and high schools. And the term curriculum is probably a little too broad, but some proposals for middle and high schools and scheduled visits by members of the committee, that's something we have not done that we want to look into. Then the possible dates for tours, mock trials at the courthouse that can be passed on to teachers, and we got that information clarified, but it does need to be passed on to the teachers. The legislative proposals, I don't know exactly where we are. I guess the legislative political team can expound on that even further. And we also have the letters that have been sent to the mayor, well, will be sent to the mayors, and we could discuss that. And then the last one was the data showing the impact of all-white jurors on trials in Champaign County, if that was possible. And I think we said that was probably going to be not possible to do because we don't have that data, enough information to bring that together. So is there something that we that I missed that we should have reiterated as some objectives for us this year? Ms. Putman has also joined us for the meeting.
Hi. Oh, Richard. Mike Richard, it's great to see you.
Glad to be able to make it.
So any other things that, Roger?
Well, I have, it's sort of in the interest of an update and potentially a goal. We recently did some research on the number of questionnaires returned, and as it turns out, 45% of all of the questionnaires we send out don't make it back at all. Now, I'm not talking about the ones that come back with bad addresses. I'm talking about the ones that disappear off the planet as if the person doesn't exist. We get nothing. So,
and what's, so just for clarification, 45% of the questionnaires we send out, as of what date? When did we start tracking that?
Well, we've been tracking it all the way along, but the most recent data that I saw was that it was 45%. So I'm not sure what period of time we're talking about, but of the ones that we've been sending out, at least recently, 45% don't make it back. And we need to do, I think we need to do better as a community as a system than a 55% return rate. I think that's sad.
Judge Fox.
Paula told us that there, the counties that have experienced this, when they send a follow-up letter and another questionnaire, that they see a certain percentage increase. I think that would be the way to go at this point. 45% is just too much. So, have we drafted a follow-up letter?
Yeah, we have.
Yes.
This is your follow-up letter, but
That's right.
We never sent it out. We just thought about sending it out.
Is this the one that you've edited?
Well,
is this ready to go? Let me put it this way. Is this ready to go?
Yeah, don't ask that question again,
please. One or two word changes, but it's darn near close.
All right.
We should. It's worth the 44 cents.
Yeah. Then I think if once you get it to the point where you think it's ready to go out, then I think we should start with the follow-up letters.
Okay. Okay. So with any discussion about that?
Well, there were several options that we looked at. I think that Judge DeFrance's option is probably the best one at this point. Some of the other ones that were mentioned, and I briefly mentioned this to Pius, and I'm asking Deb Yeast to look into it merely for cost-benefit analysis purposes, but our provider, our computer provider, can provide a upgrade to our current computer system that would allow individuals, instead of receiving a paper questionnaire in the mail, they would receive a postcard indicating that they can either call on give them a telephone number or an internet email address or internet address. And they can either go through the phone and answer the questions with, you know, different options on the phone, or they can go on the internet and click the boxes instead of actually getting a piece of paper. Obviously, there are some benefits to that. It's lower personnel costs. You don't have to stuff the envelopes. Obviously, there's no lower postage. However, the cost of the upgrade is $40,000, which is a lot of money. And as Judge DeFrance pointed out to me in a meeting earlier today, that may not get to some of the folks who either don't want to, would prefer to actually do it on paper, who want to have something in their hand to read as opposed to listening to a phone message, or don't maybe necessarily use computers as often as some of the rest of us do. And there's no guarantee that it would improve our response rate. But the other thing that I was going to add to Judge DeFrance's suggestion is I spoke to Kirk Bedwell, who is our computer person. And he said that what some of the other counties have done is on the envelope that goes out with the questionnaire in it, have a stamp that gets stamped on the front of it that says something like official legal mail or your prompt response is required, something that would indicate to people that this is not just some random communique, but something that they really need to take a look at. Again, I have no idea whether that would work. I know that they're doing that in Will County and some other counties, but again, that would be a very low-cost option to see if we can do anything to get the numbers up.
My initial feeling about stuff like that in the mail, when it's got a stamp of urgent or something or legal document or something like that, especially if it's coming from the courthouse, if I was an individual who was really just trying to avoid this whole situation, I would feel like, dang, they got me, right? And I'd have to open it, right? You know what I mean? Because if you found my address, and I've got this document in my hand, and these letters are staring at me. It's like, wow, okay, I better open this, you know. And I'll feel like there's a way for you to track me down if you really wanted to, and then I would probably follow through more if I was, you know, really just trying to avoid the situation and just needed some more prompting. So, I mean, I like the idea of doing it like that with the follow-up letter with something stamped on the outside. Yeah, we're in a little more tight quarters today, y'all, but please make your way in.
I want to sit by.
Yeah. Hey, Claire, how you doing? Might need to just pull that chair there up. And there may be a guest, another guest other than Claire. I think Miss Buchanan may be coming as well.
Sure, I was
going to
sit here.
For the record, Patricia Avery has also arrived. So, and a guest we have is Miss Claire. Kirk Cape. I'm sorry. So, what we're discussing, you all, is on the agenda is number 5. We are on announcements and communications, and we're talking about the fact that 45% of all questionnaires are not coming back at all. And that's not bad addresses and things like that. That's just people just not sending them back. So we're working on finding a way to decrease that 45% number. And because we've done such wonderful work already, we were already ready for this. And we have a letter that we're going to send out as a follow-up letter. And we're discussing right now putting a stamp of some sort on the outside of that letter, notifying the individual that this is urgent, that you have been served. Something like that. Right? Yes, ma'am.
Maybe it's because I came in late. I want to ask a question about the idea of this urgent stamp. Is this to be like a graphic or is it something designed to really get the... something catchy to get the attention of the reader?
Nothing has been designed. There's no graphic. There's no nothing. At this point, I was just thinking of something, maybe in red ink, that would be stamped on the outside of the envelopes that go out saying that this is giving the indication that this is some sort of legal mail that someone needs to pay attention to. Right now, I'm just grasping at straws at the cheapest possible way of trying to get people's attention and trying to lower that percentage.
Could we get a copy of what you say Will County does it?
Will County does a bunch of things. They also indicate on there that there are legal penalties if they don't respond. And with the questionnaire, I don't believe there are legal penalties for not. There's stuff definitely in the statute about holding people in contempt if they don't respond to a summons. But that's not what a questionnaire is. So I didn't want to overstate what our position is. But apparently, at least according to Kirk, Will County doesn't care. They're just putting it out there saying that if you don't do this, there will be ramifications and that sort of thing. I can certainly contact Pam McGuire and the folks in the circuit clerk's office in Will County and get samples.
Bill?
I have gotten mail before for kids that used to live with me like years ago, and it has some kind of thing on it that says there's a penalty for not correcting address or returning mail that this person doesn't live here. It's usually like a collection bill or, you know, some kind of commercial thing. But there might be something like that we could put on there. There might be some kind of post office penalty for not returning mail when the person doesn't live there anymore. Because you might not be getting this back because there were people that, you know, it's still being delivered there. Like, I'm still getting mail for these kids that lived here there 3 years ago. And so that, you know, it might be a family member or something like that. And there might be some way to get people to return that.
Yeah,
or have it forward an address or something.
Check with the post office.
I'll try to save anything like that that I get.
Just one quick question, then we'll go to Patricia and Mike. How do you rule out that these are not bad addresses?
Because the bad addresses come back.
Okay.
There's a sticker on there that says it's undeliverable. Or the actual post office will stamp right on there, undeliverable. If it comes back and it has a forwarding address that is within Champaign County, we simply correct the address and send it back out. So we're talking about people who do not respond in any way. So the address is there, somebody's getting it, but they are, it's making it past the post office into somebody's house, and they're not responding.
Okay. And just for the future, if we could find out, just like we have these percentages, what are the percentages that are bad addresses?
Yeah, I can certainly find that out.
Too. Okay. Patricia, then Mike.
Well, I remember when we had that meeting with Paula Hannaford, mm-hmm. and she was talking about some of the things that they had done. Mm-hmm. One of the things we had decided that we weren't going to use the strong arm approach, but I'm almost feeling as if maybe we might want to apply a little pressure. Remember the labels that were on the mattresses that we could actually remove, but we never, I was paranoid. I was just, I can't remove this. I might go to jail or something like that. It almost has to be that label on the mattress that you feel like if I remove it, I'm going to be in trouble, or if I don't return this. Knowing that it's just a psychological thing, I don't think you right. really, no one's going to knock on your door, oh, you ripped that tag off that mattress, you're going to jail, young lady. No one's really going to do it, but it was a psychological thing. Did every, was it just me that had that paranoia about that thing? Okay.
The mattress police.
Yeah. You just just knew that that was something, you know, in the back of your mind that you just wasn't supposed to do. So maybe we need to come up with something, Judge, that...
Well, that's what the questionnaire, the follow-up letter is.
I know, but we're gently putting it, and we didn't want to use the strong arm approach. We agreed that we weren't going to do that.
Jenny's got the word.
Maybe, and I'm borrowing my husband's glasses. My spectacles are a little
okay.
But I'm
one of the committee members. I think that there needs to be something that we need to do to wrap it up a little bit.
That's why we wanted to try this.
You cannot ignore
first the letter. Because I thought, if I remember correctly, when we talked about the follow-up, the fact that it's coming from the presiding judge, who doesn't have a reputation for being the softest judge in the circuit court, we just felt like that we wanted to at least try that approach first, and then if we have to ratchet up even more, we'll have a...
But they know it's... But people tend to believe that jury duty is a voluntary thing to do, but it really is a civic duty that you have to do, but... In the black community, I think people just think, I don't respond. They don't think I've got it. I don't have to participate. But so it has to be. It's going to have to be a little more. It's just going to have to be a little more pressure.
Just in response to that, then we'll come to Mike.
Do you want to hear the few paragraphs? Read it real fast. The letter number 2. It is a little bit too nice. Recently, you received in the mail a questionnaire sent to determine your eligibility for jury service in Champaign County. We have not received a response. Jury service is a civic responsibility that cannot be taken lightly. Without a pool of qualified jurors, individuals cannot have legal matters resolved by a jury of their peers. The concept of jury of one's peers is the foundation of the American justice system. Please take this opportunity to complete the enclosed questionnaire. It should only take a few minutes. When you have completed the questionnaire, return it in the enclosed postage. Please return it in the enclosed postage prepaid envelope. Your failure to complete and return the questionnaire may result in your prosecution for indirect contempt of court. Maybe we could have that in bold or underlined. I appreciate your cooperation and commitment to fair and responsible administration of justice in Champaign County. If you have questions or concerns about the questionnaire, please do not hesitate to contact Jury Clerk Gass, and then very sincerely. It's a combination of polite and not very firm. You want us to toughen it up?
I've never been considered to be polite.
Well, we can try it as it is now. And Paula said that we should be able to see a certain percentage increase.
You want to stamp your urgent reply? Or
just on the outside of the envelope, I think. If we can get him to open the envelope, that's half the battle.
If we send out the follow-up letter in an envelope stamped urgent or some indication that this is a formal communication. I still think we ought to try the follow-up letter, maybe however Jenny edits it, and then give that a try for a couple of months and see if that improves.
Oh, we haven't done that yet?
Not yet.
That's what I was saying. Mike?
I was just going to reiterate that with direct mail stamping, something on the outside, red, urgent, or something like that, does increase the rates We might even want to have a third follow-up. In advertising, it's generally considered until somebody sees something three times, they're not going to notice it. But a red urgent stamp or whatever you want, as long as it looks like it was not made by a machine and somebody's actually keeping track of you, that does increase rates when it comes to direct mail.
My only concern with going more than twice is every time we do this, there is a cost associated with it. You're basically paying double postage because you're paying for it out, plus you have a self-addressed stamped envelope in there for them to send it back. So it's basically doubling the cost for every one of the ones that doesn't send it back. So there is a cost.
I understand.
Can.
I didn't want to go too far off the topic. I've been under weather for the past few months, but the last time I was here, I was asked a question about folks in Danville and randomness as far as it comes to selecting individuals. Mom served on a grand jury. Dad served on a grand jury. Brother served on a grand jury. Sister has been on several juries. Nephew was contacted by the sheriff's department twice to serve, and then I've been contacted. So my entire family has been contacted to serve. And once again, we talk about randomness, but all of us have been asked. And three of them have been on grand juries. Next thing is, I was with a young man this past week, and he is a supervisor at a church-sized school here in Champaign. Came up where he received his summons in the mail to go for service. They took his pay from him. And I said, what? They took his pay. They said, if you go to the courthouse to serve, we're going to take your money. And they took his money.
Yeah. No, you mean his salary?
His salary. Yeah, it's, in other words, it's like a day off. You're not here. You're not getting paid.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't have to.
Yeah. And when he basically he punched out, went into work, punched out, came to the session, and then when he went back to work, I guess at 3 o'clock or whatever it was, punched back. And so basically two hours maybe is what he got paid for. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I said, your PRP is messed up. You need to redo this. So, but just, that was just had me talking this weekend, and the guy was saying, yeah, he wanted to go and serve. I'm like, dude, you know, excuse my language, but I'm like, that's like civic duty. You're stealing this guy's money. So no wonder people don't want to serve.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
I'm going to follow up, and hopefully they'll look at their PRP and maybe do some updates to it. That's all I have.
Okay. Did you have something, Ms. Miller? Okay, so. Where we're at right now, we're under reiterating the goals and objectives, and what we're dealing with is the number of individuals that are returning stuff. So I just want to make sure that to move forward, we're clear. And at this point, with edits from the queen of edits for the follow-up letter that we have, along with a red urgent stamp of some sort, with a picture of Roger on the front of it, with an urgent stamp on it, that's what we're gonna try that for a couple of months and see. What is the ample amount of time for us to really see if it makes a difference? 3 months?
Yeah, there needs to be a certain period of time before we really know what the response is going to be. I would say at least 60 to 90 days.
How soon can we implement it?
Well, we get the edits and the stamps can be ordered.
As soon as the letter's ready
to go. Yeah, I mean, 2 or 3 weeks tops.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I mean, my concern is that did you anticipate that in your budget? Right.
Anticipate setting up? No.
So that would be a concern then. How?
Yeah, because you're basically doubling the amount.
Right. So I mean, is that going to be an issue?
Well, Judge DeFontis has a way of dealing with Deb Busey. I'm sure he can convince her that the appropriate use of.
We've already cut number of jury weeks. I mean. I think they can at least pay for our postage.
We'll talk to Deb.
I think we'll get it done.
The county's not actually broke. It just pretends to be broke.
So welcome Mike Richards to the fray here, y'all. Mike is our the new chair of Justice and Social Service. So he is basically taking the position that Matt Gladney had before. So welcome. Welcome, Matt. Mike Richards. Does everybody know Mike? Okay. We do now. Randy has.
Yeah. I think the goal here is to increase the numbers coming back and not necessarily to do an analysis or research on it, but I mean, if we send out the second letter with the stamp on it, we don't know whether it's the second letter that's working or the stamp that's working. So I don't know if we, while we're doing the revisions, and maybe it will take a couple weeks, I don't know if we want to spend a couple weeks and do a stamp and see if that kind of in the next few weeks at least gets it better, and then we can do the letter.
Stamp the initial.
Stamp the initial letter as opposed to the second.
Yeah, can't hurt.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's my intention was from the beginning. It's the very first one that goes out.
Because maybe you'll get a little bump up from that alone, and then as soon as we get to the second letter, then we get another bump, and we can kind of see which has been working.
I just think legal mail in red.
Official
or legal. Legal mail in red, fairly good size. We can get a stamp for that without too much difficulty, and we can just have, I mean, it's going to be a little more work for our jury folks, but, you know, it's just as much for them to have to kick out more and more questionnaires when people aren't send them back, so anything will be a help.
Oh, that's a very valid point. So where we are right now is first letter goes out, we want to implement stamps ASAP,
yep.
And then we'll monitor that for...
Well, then as soon as the letter's ready, then we'll send the letter out on the follow-ups.
Yeah, I mean...
But you'll be able to... If we send follow-ups, they have to be to the places that we've identified did not respond.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We can kick out a list of those who... were set out that we never heard back from. You know, give them a period of, there's a deadline in the questionnaire for when they're supposed to respond by, and we can give them a, you know, a little bit of a cushion, and then if we haven't heard back, then do the secondary letters. So, but yeah, I'll get the legal mail stamp going here as soon as I can, sometime next week.
Okay. This second part under number five, y'all, the new census data, this doesn't have to take very long, but I'd like for it to coincide with the information that you were sharing with us about the numbers of the questionnaires. When you told us a month or so back about out of however many were sent out, you gave us some percentage numbers of African Americans who had been responding. So I'd like this new point. I don't have the actual census stuff for Champaign yet, but my understanding is that the numbers have increased.
The county numbers went up like by 1.2% or something. That one's kind of hard to read because that was a post.
You mean the total population or?
No, in African American.
African American
percentage. Right.
So does that come to about, my understanding was that it was somewhere around 10,000 from 2000 to 2010. Something around 10,000 African Americans who have come into Champaign County.
Additional.
So I just wanted us to take that into consideration and see how that affects what our percentages should be or look like for adequate representation.
I attempted to get the latest racial data on the questionnaires that were returned, but our computer system was down for part of today and we weren't able to get it, but I can certainly have it for the next meeting.
These colors really highlight something for you, don't they?
These are going around. One of the big ones is 2000, and the other one's 2010. So you almost have to have those side by side to look at them. And then that one kind of compares both census data and then the pie charts show the difference in the racial makeup for the whole county.
What's this little area by right here, about Florida, in between Florida and Neal Street? What is that?
That's Campus Town. It's just really dense.
It's pretty white on Campus Town. I'm sorry, just I saw the blue there. The color is really that you.
It's very blue there.
So I just thought the colors help you really see where you can see where. This is what Patrick was talking about targeting a particular area, mm-hmm. because you can clearly see where the African American population is dominant through the color codes.
So I think that no matter what we do, we're going to have a higher non-return rate than a lot of places simply because of the turnover on campus and stuff like that. There's going to be higher, but clearly what we have now is not acceptable.
So I didn't want us to get deep off into that at all. I just wanted to share that and build you sort of second that motion. We can look at that as people go through and check that off. Randy and I will be on the radio tomorrow morning.
Randy got a tough act to follow. I mean, I think the reviews were in for 2 weeks ago.
You had a ringer from what I understand.
All your friends call.
Not me, his friends.
So, Randy and I will be on tomorrow from 11 a.m. to noon, 1580 WBCP. And if we keep going the way we are, we talked to Mr. Pertle. He said as long as we have new pertinent information, he just wants the listening audience to get information, new information. We don't want to just go here to talk about opinions. And we want to have repetition hear something three times, whatever. So we will be reiterating some of the same things that Judge DeFantis and I talked about. But, of course, it's going to be, I don't know how you got off the hook, to tell you the truth, but I don't know, we're not going to be able to have the lead public defender go on live radio in the, basically in the black community, and not have to talk about the public defender's office. It's going to come up. You know? We're going to try to tie it back into what we're doing. But I think the word went out and Judge DeFantis got a pass somehow. But that's what we'll be. That's what we'll be on tomorrow at 11 a.m. We want folks to, if you have some information, if we mess up something, call and correct. You know, we don't want to put out misinformation. So
I'll be happy to be out in a future time. I'm going to be out of town tomorrow, which is why I couldn't. But you can set me up for whatever time the next time works, and I'll be there.
Okay. Ms. Butt.
I wanted to give you this notebook to take with you, and we have to undo the name of Mr. Gladney and replace it with Mr. Richard's name. But this does include the draft that Randy prepared for the draft of the bill that we wanted to be submitted, that Representative Jacobson agreed to. And this is for you to take. Gentlemen, I loved the show 2 weeks ago, and that's how I knew you were okay, Grandpa, even with the birth of the new baby, because I heard you twice on the radio. I knew you were playing basketball in between, so I knew everything must be okay.
Yes, he's fine.
But you ought to try to rotate your times on WBCP so that you don't have to do two radio shows on a Saturday morning and maybe rotate with your other higher ground host.
We're working on that, but she's giving me a hard time about that. She's saying I shouldn't have taken on other responsibilities if I already have one. But that's another meeting. So but thank you for
that. But to keep in mind that we got positive responses from both Connie Kaiser and Joe Gordon, so think of them for future. And as noted in most recent minutes, Valerie McWilliams would be a possible guest.
Okay.
And in addition, the gentleman who staffs the self-help desk, he's thinking of other people. Mm-hmm. Statistician.
For those of you who don't know, Valerie McWilliams is the head of our local planning.
Okay.
All
right. So, yes.
I'm working now back in with my future, and maybe coming from a youth perspective and actually how they have their cases and how the outcomes of their cases, and have to actually have some youth come in there and talk about. That might be a different perspective.
I don't know if Mr. Pertle's going to like this, but one of these days I'm just going to grab somebody who's standing out by the shop and bring them in and then just talk to them. I talked to a guy yesterday at work, and I'm trying to get him to go register to vote and just to be involved in the political process. And he said, so now is that going to make y'all call? Am I going to get called for jury duty if I do that? So there's just, again, we can never underestimate or overestimate what we do. We talk about it. And we become well-versed in it. In our head, seems like everybody you run across ought to know, and they don't. He's 43 years old, right? And he's still under the impression that he said, do you have a valid driver's license? He said, yeah. I said, you're already in the pool.
I missed the discussion, and I'm really sorry about that. I miss you guys when you were on WDWS. I miss you guys when you were on WBCP. But one of the things that I want to ask the question is, and maybe you do it, Aaron, raise the number of the defendants, the overrepresentation of African Americans in the system, in the court system, but then the number of jurors, and maybe try to paint that picture to your listening audience about how important, you've got a number of African Americans who are entering into the court system, but we don't have a very diverse jury pool, and that needs to be something that I think needs to come across in the discussions of how important that is. I mean, if we don't have that visual, somehow you have to make that visual come through in your verbal discussion with the cat and the dog. You just kind of have to.
And given the recent. Well, we're going off the old census and the old data. What were the numbers? We said it was 12% of the population, right, was what African Americans made up of. And the jury pool was something like 6 to 8%?
No. We were
I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but we were within about 1% one way or the other.
Because we did that 30-day questionnaire that we gave to every juror for 30 to 60 days, sent them off to Paula, and she said we were within the statistical range, but obviously can always do better. Mm-hmm. But that was that snapshot where we actually asked them to fill out the questionnaires.
That was with the new questionnaires. What I'm asking...
No. We did this...
Before we did any of the questions, before we adjusted the
for every juror that came in for about a month, we handed them a questionnaire to fill out their racial background.
Okay. So that and their zip code, I believe, was all that was there, so then she could match it up with the racial characteristics and the zip code in which they lived. And then she and you looked at that data too, I think. Back in the
but I think what Patricia's asking is that. What are the number of African American defendants?
Well, if you look at the report that Steve Beckett puts out gives you a eyeball, and then they're only guessing that they are African Americans.
Right, that's what I'm saying with Roger.
So we
and
need
all
to have. I'm sure we have some data that shows
African American individuals make up the majority of the criminal defendants in the system. It's
but there's no number that we can really put
more than 50%.
More than 50%.
Oh, yeah. Well, more than 50%.
I just want to be able to say something
that's
right. Adequately accurate.
No, that's a safe... Don't you think, Randy?
Well, you can look at who's occupying the jail, mm-hmm. you know, and see
more than 50%.
More than 50%. Oh, yeah. It's more than 50%.
And then we would say that the jurors make up less than what?
12%.
Yes. So you take we've taken 12% of the population, and they account for over 50% of our criminal defendants.
Right.
We're not going to be able to see that same numbers for the jurors, but
right.
We need to see more.
Right. But we need to see more of people, period, of every background, given the fact that 45% of people don't send their stuff back at all.
But you're safe in saying that over 50% of the people in the criminal justice system are African American.
Yes, ma'am. Miss.
Okay. I think a lot of times you do see the same percentage of African Americans on the jury as there are in the population, but what I mean, you see a lot more than I do, but what I don't see is young African Americans.
No. Absolutely.
Especially
you don't.
Men, even women. I don't see young African Americans on juries.
We don't see many young people at all.
Yeah, in fact, I was just going to back that up. We did a study. I don't have it with me, but we did a study, and it's as you would imagine. Younger people tend to not, of all backgrounds, do not tend to be on juries, do not tend to be in the pool, you know, to respond to questionnaires. And that percentage goes down as people get older. So as people get older, they're much more likely to be on a jury than younger people.
Well,
so
I mean, I don't want to disagree with you, but I see a lot of juries where there. I mean, it's striking that there are a number of young people on them, and especially in the summertime when you know students can defer their jury service until the summertime.
Right.
Well, you know, you get a natural. Thing. You have a lot of more professors
mm-hmm.
in the summer, more students in the summer,
mm-hmm.
more farmers in the winter.
Right.
You are always going to see in a pool of 30 a few college or 20-something, but if you take an average out of the pool, I'm guessing the average age is probably in the 40s, maybe even higher than that. You get a lot of retired folks.
Skewed older. Well, what I think they need to target is young African Americans, male and female. I mean, you don't have a problem getting older people of any race to serve on a jury. It's young people.
Ken will respond to this. Then I just want to make sure.
I'm good.
That we're
good. I'm good.
So, as Patricia's asking us to sort of paint this picture with the numbers, so I'm looking at, okay, 12% of the population, but over 50% of the defendants.
Mm-hmm.
12% of the population, but less than
5%
of the jurors, 6% of the jurors. I just want to make sure there's a number that...
No, I think the number of... I think, well, the percentage of jurors that are African American was very close to what it was in the population as of the census at the time that we did the study.
Which was
so
2000.
It was within a percent or two, you know, one way or the other. So that was not a disparity that alarmed this evaluator from the National Center for State Courts. She thought that was within the statistical... You know, I don't know what you want to call it, but the statistical range that you would expect. She did not see that that was a major problem. However, we all know that we want more of everybody, regardless of their background, in the juries. And so I wouldn't say that there's a large disparity
between the population and the representatives in the jury pool. I know that's different than the observations and what Mr. Beckett found in his analysis, but based on that, what people identified themselves, it was very much representative of what it was in the population.
I would agree.
Well, I just want to make sure that, because this committee has been comprised and put together for a reason, and that reason was to increase, in particular, African-American involvement, and so there's something that we're saying that we're trying to accomplish that was not, that was skewed, that is not accurate, is not jiving.
Right.
So I'm trying to say,
if you can say two out of three trials, you have maybe one or two, out of two or three trials, you may have one or two African-Americans serving in those jury pools. I mean, you have to make the number, you have to make it real to them.
Real and accurate.
And layman, you can't right. Put out 12%, it was kind of, it matches up with the population, they're not going to get that.
Right.
So you have to say it in a way that people...
That's why I'm trying to get the actual information.
So would you say, Judge, that every jury trial has an African-American, at least one?
No, that's not the case.
Okay. So how often do you have African-Americans in your jury? So how many trials do you have, and how many times do you see African-Americans in those trials?
You know, just in my courtroom, the majority of the juries have at least coming into the courtroom, the 35 or 40 that I bring in, the majority of that for that trial have at least one African-American. But I have seen, and it is not uncommon, to see 40 people come in and no African-Americans. But we are seeing maybe one or two, but at least there are some in there. It doesn't guarantee they're going to be in the jury box.
Exactly, but that's what I'm
saying. But you do see, it is not unusual, Randy will agree with me, to see 35 people come in. There's no African-Americans in there.
But by the same token, there might be a group of 35 where you get 4 or 5, which was over the percentage.
Right.
You know,
that does happen.
They come in, but do they make it?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I had a trial where I had, of the 14 jurors, I had 4 African-Americans on the jury. And I was pleased to see that, because that gets back to the prosecutors understand that we are going to watch their use of peremptory challenges. So, I mean, it comes and goes. Like, the bottom line is we have to do better.
Of the 50% of the African Americans that are quote unquote going through the system, what would be the average age? Or
they tend to be younger.
24, 25?
Anywhere from 18 to what, 30?
Yeah,
under 30.
So then obviously that when all the letters and things are going out, that's probably a large percentage of the population that definitely probably won't respond. Mm-hmm. So they're not gonna.
I did get a questionnaire back. Somebody forwarded it to a family member who was in the Department of Corrections, and he sent me a note and he filled it out, but he said, I don't really think I'm going to qualify.
Okay, so... Patricia, I just want to lay this out.
But
so
you
clear.
Do know where I'm coming from.
I am, so I'm, that's why I want to be.
You can
but
deliver.
Wait a minute.
You will deliver.
Not until I get the right information. Okay. So I'm clear and how in my mind I can sort of paint a picture about, you know, the population and the number of defendants, the age and all those different things, right? But to make it
real.
To make it fit what we're trying to do, there's one aspect of it is that we know in the community where we are, we know this number that we just shared about the defendants, right? How do I make this vivid about the importance of the absence of African-American participation in the jury? How do I make that visible and vivid for them through the radio is what I'm saying. So some sort of alarming number or analogy would help me paint a picture of that.
I don't know how to give you a number, but obviously you can go back to the cats and dogs. I don't know if I would go back to actual cats and dogs. But obviously if you are on trial, you want to see people in that jury pool, in that jury box, who represent your peers.
It gets back to your poem.
It does, exactly. And I think that's the picture you want to paint. If you get too much into the numbers, I think you may even lose people. I think the bottom line is we want to... It's not enough to know statistically that it's representative. We have to know in our hearts That's a completely different thing. That this
it's a trust issue.
It's exactly right.
Can I give you an example then? You know, it doesn't matter what race you are, you have to follow the law, okay? But the judge gives an instruction at the end of the trial that says that you're allowed to consider your everyday common experiences. You can't put them at the doorstep, you know? And so I've had many trials where I'm putting on a case where I'm trying to tell the jury that my client, you know, has three kids with three different moms and he's out late doing this and that. And a lot of people, and I don't think this is a race thing necessarily, it's more an economic thing, they don't understand the lifestyle of my client. Like, and it almost appears as if we want to find him guilty because we don't like his lifestyle. And I try to explain to them in jury in the closings that you can't do that whether you like my client or don't like him. But a lot of times, yeah, they, you know, you want to bring people's experiences into the jury room to talk about it. And a lot of people don't understand the lifestyle of a young black man. And if you have young black men on the jury, at least they can go into the jury room and explain to the others, well, this is why that guy lived this way. This is why he did it. Not to change the verdict necessarily, but to just
give some background.
To bring more diversity into the thought process.
Yeah.
If it was Steve or somebody else that pointed out a study that more diverse juries make better decisions because they discuss things more. And it can go either way. It can be guilty or innocent. You know, maybe the same black kid on the jury would see something or have a better way of determining whether someone was lying or not than mm-hmm. some of the white people would just because of their background and experience. So I think that's something to kind of talk about too a little bit more in the radio shows is that it can go both ways and just will result in better decisions.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The thing that you did both at DWS and on the BCP was explain historically why African Americans don't participate in the system, and it's a trust issue and the whole background. And you can, and this would fit in with that. I mean, it's just because I tell people to trust the system, they're not going to trust it. They have to be involved in it. They have to be a part of it, and then they will hopefully begin to trust it. But we could talk forever, and they're not going to believe me or anybody else. They have to get involved.
The hearts and minds of these people. Right? We're trying to make decisions.
I think you've done wonderful on the air, Aaron.
Well, we're just trying to achieve what we set out to do.
Trisha, I think that you would hear what you want to hear.
I'm not offended or anything about it. I mean, I thought it was. I think we need to extract some of those things from one another so that we can be more.
And then the people calling in help make the case, too.
Yes, yeah, so that's what I mean about asking the questions and stuff. Okay, yeah, we're going to move on.
I have every confidence
this,
in Aaron.
Public participation. Anything from public participation? No.
I was just wondering how to get the message across to the people that they have to participate. If you don't do something, then you complain that this is being done to you. You know, so it's really important to get the message that you can make a difference. You can affect some change here, but you got to do something. So I think what you're doing on the radio, you know, you can't ask for any better. You just got to reach them and keep reiterating that message.
You can make like Mr. Richard said three times. They got to hear it three times if we're on the radio and we're all saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. Just keep telling them.
And that's a free hit too,
right?
Not 44 cents.
And that is, right. You know, I know there's a trust issue, but this is one part of the process that you have to trust. You know, you really have to be able to trust this part of the system, because if you want it to work better on the other side of it, on the other side, you have to be involved. You have to participate. And if you're in there to see how it works, then you build that trust. Be able to be a part of that process instead of, you know, so that's the kind of thing. That's part of the system you want to try.
Okay. All right, y'all, we're going to move to, thank you for the public participation. Move to number 7, political action team updates. I know we have Jennifer talked about the legislation and also the letter to the mayors.
And I guess Jennifer... in our last meeting, you talked about being a part of the jury awareness week, and we came up with a number of different ideas on how we can be, as a committee, how we can be involved in that process, and helping to get the awareness out there. And that's one of the things that we're really interested in doing on this committee, is educating the community about the importance of jury duty. And so a number of things came out. One was this is a draft letter of the mayors. We wanted to get the mayors of Champaign and Urbana to do a proclamation. And we also actually talked about maybe getting it out to even other mayors. Did we talk about Rancho?
I think Rancho should be on there.
I think Rancho should be on there.
Mm-hmm.
Every village, town, and city. Thomasboro, the village of Ranchul, the village of Savoy, every single one. We'll just go to our League of Women Voters Guide to Who's Who and invite everyone to join Chair Weibel in signing the proclamation and participating in jury week that will commence with Law Day, May 1st.
And so I attempted to just put draft or letters, and Jennifer didn't get a chance. She's my editor, and she did not edit this letter.
She will.
I just put some things.
Oh, yeah, she will.
I know she will. She will for definite. And I'm counting on her to do that. But while we're here, you have an opportunity to see where we're going with that. If you would like to offer some suggestions on what we should put in or take out, this is the time to talk about it.
I think Tricia's letter is just fine. I would just say why, you know, that we're inviting you to join, because we know Pius will, you know, please join with Chair Weibel in issuing the proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
And we can mention some of the things that might take place during Jury Awareness Week, such as if we get it done in time, the release of the honor roll of area business, not just businesses, I should say, area employers, who have the civic-minded ability or spirit to make time off for jury duty a paid benefit. And Bill has created the survey that will allow us to find out exactly
somebody else will have to write the letter.
Right. But we could release of the honor roll. We've talked about collaborating with a group of women in law who staged the dramatization of kids' stories. Like, I think they've done The Trial of Mother Goose, or I'll find out from Ellen Bullock what they're going to do this year. We could try to be on more talk shows, and also there are a number of talk-heavy TV shows. Some on Sunday morning, or, you know, just all of the things that you do to publicize. For example, we just completed Black History Month, and you think of the things that were done during that month to make people think about the contributions of African American people in American culture, or the things surrounding Dr. King Week, whatever. We do all of the things that are done when a group wants to promote its week. But this would be the first time that we've had Jury Awareness Week in Champaign County.
And I think that's good. That's going to help us in our work, too. One of the things that we were doing, and I don't know how we're going to set this up, if we're going to have our mayors come out and they're going to make this a kind of a celebration and have it in one specific place. But one of the things that I, in honor roll of these, it would be nice that we do highlight, maybe spotlight an organization or a company that has a good track record and won't be that one that your friend, but an organization that maybe has a good track record in supporting their employees and when they're called to jury. Also, I was wanting to ask the committee, one of the things that we do for our peer jury program, and we started to, we recognize some of the jurors with the Marilyn Garman Spark, because she's the one that brought a lot of that stuff into Champaign.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that week we can recognize one of those students. Maybe that can be a part of what we do. Because we are going to have a a recognition. So maybe we can do that also that week. I don't know. What do you all think about that?
To recognize one of the students
that one of the peer jurors.
One of the peer jurors. I think that would be great. Yeah.
To make that just another one of the things that we do.
As we come up with some of the ideas, just to revisit the honor roll. So what you have...
When we do it at the court?
Well, what you have there is the...
That would be good.
So if it's going to be your idea is what I'm getting at. If it's you have to take
kind
the lead
of coordinate
on that,
all
coordinate
of
all that, right? You know what I mean? So I was just saying with Bill, when he put together that list there, those are the list of employers who... I wasn't clear on it. What is that list of?
It's just a list of the major employers in Champaign County from the regional or from the Economic Development Corporation.
So then we would send them a letter and ask them if they pay individuals.
Right.
So that they could be a part of the honor roll. Okay. Mm-hmm. Somehow we have to try to extract this information from them, whether or not they have an actual policy. Because we don't want somebody to just tell us, yeah, this is how we do it. We want to know if you have an actual policy.
Actually, on this Economic Development Corporation, they also had the website for a lot of these, and I started trying to find their personnel policies on their websites, but that would have taken like 2 years.
Because
each one, it took like 15, 20 minutes, and half the time I didn't find anything. So we'll have to send letters, I think.
And we can just, one of the things that we can do is start off as the places that we know. Let's just start. Even if the honor roll grows, and we have to do it each year, or we do it at some sort of intervals, there are places that we know who pay individuals who serve in juries. So we could, it could start off with 5 and make the other folks envious or something.
That's
I don't
right.
know, but
you want to get on the list.
Just I know we'll put some effort. We'll send out some. I just didn't want to incur some large cost of sending out stuff to all these employers, and then we don't really get the return that we're looking for. Let's be somewhat, I don't want to say realistic, because I think we should have grand ideas, but I don't want us to incur a whole bunch of costs that we don't have money to pay for.
It could be like spotlight certain organizations.
Judge, if I was to you.
Well, the two of the organizations that are dying for good publicity are both of our hospitals. And if Carl and Provena both pay their employees when they come for jury service, they would love to have that kind of positive community involvement. That would be that, and I think they both do, and that would be real easy. I think they'd love to get involved in something like that.
So it says they're so starved for positive, maybe they would be willing to make a donation to the committee so that we could do sponsorship.
I'd be willing to bet they might.
So maybe that's a good thing for us to let our new guy get on top of. What do you think, Mike?
Who do we know at Carl?
It's her for dumping. Not come on the committee right away.
Paying employees for not working would be counted as charitable.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a lawsuit.
That
would be an easy way to do it.
Yeah.
Other companies would say, hey, again, like you say, what about us?
They'll start more than putting their thumb on the list.
Right. Ms. Putnam.
Well, I mean, thanks to Bill's spreadsheet, we've got the employers from A to, what does it go to, Bill? Z or something?
Yeah. Yahoo.
Okay, from A to Y. I'm betting that our three commissioners already know a lot of businesses that do give paid time off, and I think that our commissioners are more than willing to provide us with the information that they already know. So if we're wanting to fill in the grid, and Claire, with my computer, I didn't know how to print off the column. This is just a column that shows the business and the phone number. The important part is whether or not they give paid time off. But
well, we're meeting with, Roger and I are meeting with the commissioners the 16th, Wednesday morning.
Yes, Wednesday morning, 8 o'clock.
So if we can have the list, then we'll...
Oh, and they could fill out part of the matrix as it is. For the rest, I'm skeptical about sending a letter and asking for a reply.
I think the information comes from a
phone call, and maybe it would be more than one phone call, and the person making the phone call introduces him or herself as a member of the Citizens Advisory Committee on Jury Service. We're wanting to publicize. We're interested in your policies on time off for jury service. Mm-hmm. Could either meant to either, can I, may I speak with the person who's familiar with your personnel policy, or may I speak with your HR director? But what we have to do to make it absolutely fair is make sure that every business that receives, excuse me, every employer, they are not businesses, every employer who is contacted is asked the exact same questions.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't think it's wise use of postage to be sending a letter. It needs to be personal contact, and every contact we have to be following a script.
Okay, so this is what I'm getting at about, you know, when we come up with wonderful ideas, we have to make sure that we champion those ideas and follow through. So Miss Avery came up with a wonderful idea about the peer being recognized as a peer juror. So she's in charge of coordinating and all that. And Bill, since this was your wonderful, wonderful idea, you've already put the basic part together.
So make a letter.
Well, no, not the phone calls, but a script. You said the script of who we are, what's going on, and we just had a few questions. But I think we should set a boundary. Let's say we're going to, after Judge DeFinis and Roger goes Wednesday and gets some of the matrix filled in, right? That may give us 10 or 15 employers already for honor roll list.
Right.
And then if we want to try 10, let's set a number that we want a number of 20. So whatever we get from Wednesday.
The other thing you can do is, you know, if you're going to go on the radio, you can, I don't know how many you reach, but you can say, we want to hear from you. If you're an employer out there who pays your employees, we want to recognize your efforts. Give us a call, put out your email, put out my email, put out whoever's email, and, you know, we want to hear from you because we want to recognize you for your dedication.
Brilliant, Roger. Brilliant.
Yes, that's wonderful. So I'm just thinking of a target number that we want to say minimally, y'all understand what I'm saying. At minimum, we want a list of 20. Can we, is that too much?
I think you'll get to 20.
Oh, we've got that
many.
Okay, so let's say 20. Whatever over that is gravy. So we'll go first with what you guys come back with on March 16th.
If we get anything, you know, from the program, if anybody calls in or...
And we'll go with that, right? And then we'll go with the script part so we don't put an excessive burden on whoever is going to take up that responsibility.
But can Roger and I at least contact the people at Provena and Carl and see if they've been...
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
And I know they would. If there were going to be cameras involved, they would be there.
Well, the other thing, too, is they might actually be able to come up with numbers on how much money they paid people who actually were on jury duty, and that's actually moderately impressive, too. We paid, you know, $17,000 in wages for people in the last however many years who were, you know...
And then that's 17 plus the $3,000 donation that we...
Whatever they're going to get, whatever else they're going to get.
Don't forget that part.
That's right, yeah.
Well, I'm trying to visualize, okay, so we're doing all of these things, and I just asked... Judge, so the reading of the proclamation, the recognition of a student that has done this jury stuff, and that's what we have to do, start to groom them early. Maybe we can do that, all of that, and then recognize our honor roll organizations, our companies, at where. And so I'm thinking maybe we can do it at the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Do all of this at the courthouse.
Sort of have a, you know, presentation.
Maybe have a few, like, light snacks or something, cookies and punch. And
Randy's good at cookies and punch, aren't you, Randy?
I love you.
Okay, so let me be clear.
Because where are we going to, I mean, we're setting all of this, but we didn't talk about where all of this stuff...
Well, that's what I'm saying. It sounds to me...
So logistically, I would like to see if we can agree that we'll, whatever we do, that we will do it at the courthouse, maybe.
Well, see, that's what I'm trying to get everybody to be on the same page here. Roger and Randy could join us over here.
I'm sorry. We're looking at calendar date.
May 1st, the law week, or the, what is it that we're talking
law
about?
Day.
Law day. Law day is May 1st.
It's May 1st. And it typically takes place at the law building on campus. Is that where it typically takes place? Or is it just,
there's no event?
No event.
Okay.
The Bar Association normally has some sort of law day gathering of some sort. Usually they have two social events. One is over the holiday season, and then one is at law day. And sometimes they have speakers come in
and have like a dinner thing. But other than that, there's nothing formal that
we want our.
See, I was under the impression that there was something already there.
We
just be on the agenda. Okay.
We're creating our own.
Shouldn't we make sure that the mayors are going to go along with it?
Yeah, that's.
They got to be the first ones because they're not going to show up.
Exactly.
So who's going to contact our mayors?
That was the political team.
Okay.
Right.
That's why, you know, you guys want to look at that and see if you want to.
If the Bar Association or if the women in law who do the dramatized fairy tale and turn it into a court drama, if they've already got a day, maybe we could join with them, maybe piggyback with them. I mean, if the Bar Association has something that gets cameras and attention, I'm getting shaken heads.
I don't think
our jury selection committee can get
cameras and attention. Yeah, I mean, my initial vision was doing something in the jury assembly room.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. Just have, you know, a place for some cameras. We sit down and talk. Yeah. We have the mayors come in, and Pius maybe, you know, with the proclamation from the county, and you know, and then we list off the people who are there. We can invite the people, the CEOs or whatever, or the heads of whatever companies are there, invite them, or not even that, just thank them, and because that PR is free PR on whatever TV and radio station wants to show up to cover it.
Yeah, well, don't forget we got to honor our little student.
Okay, so, all right, pulling this all together, doesn't sound like a whole bunch, but of course there's some planning and stuff that has to go on. So, the event planner. Right?
Well, we identify the recipients, that's, and then talk to the mayors.
And then pick a date.
And then pick a date.
Because that's what's going to ask you. What?
Yeah.
Right. And then we'll.
So May 1st is not a good date.
It's
a Sunday. That's a Sunday. It's got to happen.
You probably want it during the week, and probably late in the afternoon.
On a Friday.
On a Friday is perfect. And the reason I say that is the sheriff. You know, we can coordinate it. We won't be conflicting with jurors.
Well, what is that Friday?
We won't have a juror in the jury room.
All right, so we still got several things to look at, y'all. So I want
to
let's do something here. Okay,
yeah, that week of Monday, May 2nd, we don't have jurors that week. That was when you called off, so we don't have to worry about jurors.
No, that was a money saving week.
Yes.
Then you pick a day. Pick a day. Then the jury assembly room is available.
Monday's better than Friday anyway. Mm-hmm. We're getting press.
Yeah,
Friday's the worst weekday of the week for getting rest.
And once we pick a date, then I'll coordinate it with the sheriff, because normally TV cameras, that sort of thing, aren't allowed.
Well, let's do it on the 2nd, because that's the day after.
Monday, May 2nd.
Yes. Monday, May 2nd. Good.
Jury
assembly room. Monday, May 2nd.
So, Trish, when they talk to you, that's the date.
We can unveil the honor roll and let people know it can always, there's room for more.
So we wanted a date. We know that first we have to get this together.
Right.
And that you guys are working on a part of that on the 16th.
On the employers.
Then we'll 3:30.
Okay. So there's going to have to be a ton of communication, because we're talking, we only meet once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So we're already in March, April, and then May. So we only meet one more time. So we're going to have to do this through other means, subcommittees or something like that. Okay.
Emails.
And we'll set that up. But I didn't want us to get too, but we only got like 20 minutes left here. And we needed to discuss even that issue of time. I know Barbara relayed to me that that there was some concern about staying so late. I'm working days for the next 6 months. And even when I'm not, 5 o'clock is about as early as I could come. And so I know that a lot of this was set up around my schedule. And I'm very appreciative of that. So.
Yeah, we blame you.
I know, and sometimes you just have to take the heat sometimes, right? So I'm proposing at least 30 minutes earlier. I don't know if that helps a whole lot.
Does it have to be a Friday?
No.
We can get away from Friday.
Because you're now working days.
Right, I'm now working days.
Okay.
Fridays, I would have to look at it, though, because Carol is here on Tuesdays and Thursdays or two, you know, whatever.
Right.
So I don't want to have it on. Well, I wouldn't have, you know, anybody to watch my son, so.
I was thinking like maybe a Wednesday or something in the middle of the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, might be a little easier. I mean, I don't know how that works out of the schedule. But
I teach Monday night and Wednesday night at Parkland.
Okay.
Monday and Wednesday.
And then Tuesday, Thursday, I'm on the board.
Why don't we take a small step and start at 5 o'clock on Fridays?
Okay.
We're used to Fridays.
Let's take a small step.
By the way, Aaron, the only reason people were proposing a different time is to get so that attendance would be better. That's only to get the critical mass of inspired, energetic people together.
Do you work Monday through Friday?
Yeah. Right now I am. Yes.
And
it's usually Sunday through Thursday.
And when will you? How long is this going to last?
Until September.
Okay. So I think we need to go back on Penny for your thoughts.
Do you get an hour for lunch? That was the other thing I was thinking of too.
30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
Doing something over the lunch hour, but it's hard for everybody to get get through all
of this. No, let's try 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So I just wanted to throw that in there to get.
Okay.
Just let me know when the next radio thing is, and I'll come to that.
That was number 7, letters to the mayor, and it turned into a bigger discussion. But it's cool. We like that. That's going to work out great.
Yeah.
And there was really no update at this point about the bill and the legislative proposal, so we can move on to number 8, the curriculum proposal. Or I didn't want to use the term curriculum, but that's what I was giving you this for.
I thought maybe that's why.
Right. If you had any information for us, an update about any of the things that you and Ms. Kessel were able to work on or trying to put together.
We didn't work on anything because I didn't know about
it. Oh, okay. And she's not here. Okay. So we'll move that to the next meeting. Court watch discussion, invitation to Steve and Tina. We pushed that back last month, and it looks like we probably need to push it back again. It doesn't seem to be a big deal for anybody. It was for a while. We were talking about it, but now it seems to not be such a big issue. What do you all think about that? Yes.
I think this must have come up at a meeting when you were not present. But the consensus of the group was, we don't have anything new to say about the study. And the most recent study, it didn't indicate anything dramatically different. That at one time, and this was at a meeting that Judge DeFantis and Roger and I think Mr. Rosenbaum missed. There was no court officials were there, but we had a really good discussion about
probably because
no, do you remember that, Ken? I mean we talked and talked and talked and talked, and there was no way I as a little old recording secretary could get down all of the heartfelt shared things that were told about, but I don't think we have anything new to say about it. And I don't, it's not any disrespect, it's just we've said it all.
No, I don't think there was anything new. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll scratch that off, it won't show up again. Carol really wants to set a date and time for two of the members of to appear on our radio program on Higher Ground. The dates we have March 12th, which we've already got booked. March 26th, which I don't, I think there was one opening on. Because the show is from 8 to 10 a.m. now on Saturday morning. So I know it's, so I know everybody's up right early on Saturday mornings after hanging out all night. But, so I'll come back to that. That's not even something we have to press right now. I just want to put that out there. That's just more ability for us to get information out there because all the communities need to hear more information about that. So I'll revisit that one on another time and to get and maybe secure somebody to do that at another date. So the other business, complete the discussion about the pamphlets. We had some discussion about whether or not we should add stuff to it, and we were round and round about that, and I don't know if there was any clarity about that or if we just want to go with the pamphlets. The pamphlets that Roger brought us were for people who are jurors, right?
Well, it just shows what is our, you know, what you're expected to do as a petit juror, and again, that's on the website for the Supreme Court.
And so the idea is that we just want to put something out that's accurate, but there was some conversation that maybe this didn't cover enough of the stuff that we cover, but we don't want to confuse people. It just kind of went back and forth. But the idea, the general crux of the idea was that we wanted something that we could give churches, Boys and Girls Club, you know, things like that we could put in their hands that make them better educated about jury service. So we didn't know if we needed to reinvent our own pamphlet or just go with something like this. That one, my sense was that was later on in the process. That's after you become a juror, or you're potentially about to be a juror.
And again, that's a generic one that's statewide, so it doesn't talk about whether you have a questionnaire and a summons, or just a summons, because some places don't. It doesn't talk about how much you get paid, or whether, you know, because it's different for every county. They have their own standards. So there is some critical stuff about Champaign County that's not going to be on there. Now, whether that justifies creating a whole new pamphlet, or that you want just another piece of paper to tack on to, you know, add to it, is fine. But I think there is some stuff specific to Champaign County. You know, for example, some places have jurors that come in every week, sometimes 2 weeks out of the month, sometimes not even that often, some of the smaller counties. So, yeah, there is some specific stuff to Champaign that's not going to be in that petty jury thing from the state.
So this will be my proposal to the committee, and we can see how you all feel about this. Why don't we, at our April meeting, or... And it could even be a May meeting, I don't know. But we set either the entire meeting or a big chunk of the meeting aside to strictly hammer out our own pamphlet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that. And maybe we can look at this one and maybe pick if there's something we want.
I'm happy. I mean, when I was in the Bar Association locally, we did some of this stuff already. I may have something, not a formal pamphlet, about how the jury system works here. We've changed it since then, but let me look into it, because maybe I have a draft of something that, you know, it's easier to not start from scratch.
Right.
So I mean, I can try and bring something. And if it ends up being a money thing, the State Bar Association has up to $500 grants for this stuff. And when I was president of the Bar Association, we translated some pamphlets into Spanish, and we got $500 from the State Bar Association to do that. So if we come up with a new pamphlet, want to make lots and lots of copies. I mean, it's easy. I think they give everybody the money. I think the Bar Association.
You just have to fill out
that. You just have to fill out a form and you wait a month. They say you
have $500. When I was president, we did the same thing. Right.
So there may be a money.
Ms. Cook.
If you will read through that notebook I gave you, you will see documents that Roger Holland has given us over the months since we've been meeting. The glossary that exists. I mean, those things already exist. It's just a question of pulling it together in an attractable product that says, read me. For example, read me if you're a 12-year-old. Read me if you're an alienated, suspicious 24-year-old African-American person who doesn't want to go into the courthouse. The stuff exists already. We've got it.
The other thing we can do is, I know that the ABA, the American Bar Association, also has stuff, because when we went out and did stuff in the community when I was the president of the Bar Association, there were like even coloring books for kids about how to trust the, you know, trusting police officers and the roles of different, you know, in a very generic way, but stuff that was specifically designed for kids. And we can certainly look through some of that on there. They have a big website, and look through that and see if there's anything we can steal or pull off of there or whatever. They're really good about it also.
Okay. So what I have is that's either the April or May meeting. I don't know if it makes a difference that we would just really set the time, set it aside.
My recommendation would be actually the May meeting, because the April meeting, we're probably going to want to get this whole honor roll thing taken care of.
Okay, cool.
So maybe do it in May.
So in May, that's what we'll be working on, and we can still gather information until then, sort of formulate it. I had jotted down some stuff that I added to the agenda that I didn't get approved.
That we're not talking about it.
I just wanted to know the percentages from, are there new percentages from the questionnaires?
Yeah, that was what I mentioned earlier. Our computer system was down today, so I didn't get a chance to get it pulled off. So I will get that, and I can either email it to everybody before our next meeting or have fresh stuff at our next meeting.
If you email it, that'll be good. And give us a chance to look at it.
Okay. I'll pull it off there.
And Ms. Putman had asked for copies of the new questionnaire.
And again, because our computer system was down, I wasn't able to print it out, but I will definitely get that to you as soon as I can.
Somewhere I heard that ignorance was no excuse for the law or something like that.
Yeah, there's actually a big long Latin phrase for that. I long forgot it during my law.
Okay, so that was just those two pieces, and Ms. Putman, go.
Okay. Does anyone object to me proposing, when I speak with Ellen Bullock, who is one of the people I know who does the dramatization of children's fairy tales close to Law Day. Would you object to timing our Law Day proclamation and release of the honor roll with I'll find out when they're doing it. There are things that are happening all across the 7 days of law, jury appreciation week. But it's just, it might be something that we could do to get behind their head of steam. I've always seen beautiful full color photos in the newspaper of the play. It's appealing.
I'm not clear on what you're asking, if you're honest with me.
Well, what do you think about doing? Well, no, we've already decided that our event is going to be on Monday, May 2nd at 3:30. Okay. And Jeff Bosser said that he would be interested in reading both Aaron, your poem, Patrick's, the spoken art piece that Ms. Kate Kirk put together, and he said that the law day would be an appropriate time to do it. That would, he's interested.
Okay. Monday, May 2nd, just remind me, I'm trying to see if I can, maybe you could give a phone call to President Hogan to get me off that day so I can get in there. I have to put in to make sure that I can get off the time. It shouldn't be a problem, but I'll see. I'll make sure I hurry up and let y'all know.
I'm sure they had my picture on the wall at the U of I, but they're throwing darts at me.
I love you over there. I wouldn't drop that name if I were.
Yes, ma'am.
Just real quickly on future dates for Higher Ground. Once we work out the logistics about our jury appreciation week, that'll be something that I wouldn't mind coming on with somebody else to talk about.
Okay.
Because we need to promote that. And we'll have that laid all out. So,
all right.
March 26th is not going to be good for that, but because we haven't really worked.
Right, but somewhere in April, maybe.
Somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So schedule the next meeting. April 15th is not good.
April 22nd is a holiday for the county, so it would be difficult to get this location or the courthouse for the police. So it looks like 1-8 or 29 would be the Fridays, and April is right before.
How about the 8th? That's a Friday beginning of the week.
Yeah, 1-8 or 29.
Okay, let's do that. We should do something quicker anyway.
The 8th?
So, yes, April 8th.
8 at 5 o'clock, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, 5:30, 5 o'clock.
April 8th.
April 8th at 5.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Not that Roger and Randy were bragging, but I want to be on the record. I've never been the president of the Bar Association.
And for good reason.
Public participation. We're quiet. All right. If all hearts and minds are clear, this meeting is adjourned.
Yes,
meeting adjourns at 6:40, 6:53.
7 minutes.
So,
I'm going to see Stephanie Ferracci tomorrow. What is it we're trying to raise money from Provena for?
Well, here's the other thing, so you got to be careful about raising money.
Sure.
Jury tax implications. We're not a charitable organization, so you're not a...